clarity is there and to save, give you more time. Okay.
All right, thank you. So this research was done at Oregon State University at Malheur Experiment Station, and we're in eastern Oregon on the border with Idaho, high desert area. And we did the research in collaboration with Nancy Shaw and Francis Kilkenny of the U.S. Forest Service Research Station in Boise, Idaho. So the objective of the Great Basin Native Plant Selection Increase Project is to increase the availability of native plant material for revegetation of disturbed rangelands. So one of the issues we've had lately, of course, is forest wildfires, which really increases the need for native plant seed. So the Great Basin is a big area that encompasses parts of the states of Idaho, Oregon, Utah, Nevada, and California. It's high desert. The objective of our experiment station was to develop irrigation practices for seed production, because the BLM wants to have growers produce the seed, and because they need to buy huge quantities of seed, so they want to make it like an agronomic crop. And the objective of this trial was to determine the amount of irrigation water that would produce the maximum seed yield. So in this presentation, I'm going to be talking about two perennial legume species, Dahlia ornata, western prairie clover, and Dahlia cerulci, Searles prairie clover. And these are non-woody perennial plants. Dahlia cerulci, the highlighted blue area is its typical range, and it has a bit of more of a southern range than Dahlia ornata, which has a much higher range in latitude, goes all the way up into Canada. So these plants typically flower from about mid-May to mid-June, and then the harvest occurs from late June to early July, depending on year. So Ontario, where our experiment station is located, is in the northern end of the Great Basin area, and it's got an average annual precip of 257 millimeters. So this graph shows precipitation and evapotranspiration, reference evapotranspiration in 2016 in Ontario. And then I put here, the red line is the period when these plants are flowering and setting seed. And you can see that it's a period of high evapotranspiration, very low precipitation. So the seed was planted in the fall of 2009 for both plants, and then seed production started in 2010, and we started the irrigation trials in 2011. And we've repeated them all 6 years up until 2016. We planted four rows of each species the length of the field, and then we installed a drip tape in between every other plant row at 12-inch depth. Then we divided up the field into 30-foot plots that could be irrigated individually. And we had three treatments. Each treatment got four irrigations spaced 2 weeks apart. And we started the irrigations when the plant started flowering. So the three treatments were a non-irrigated check. Then the second treatment got 25 millimeters at each irrigation, totaling 100 millimeters per season. Last one got 50 millimeters per irrigation, totaling 200 millimeters per season. So this graph shows the seed yield for each treatment each of the 6 years that I'm reporting here, and for Dahlia ornata. And what I wanted to show with this, we had statistically significant differences between treatments every year except 2011. Although 2011, you can see a trend for a negative response to irrigation. But also, the other thing you could see here is that there's a big year-to-year variability in seed yield and also in the response of the seed yield to irrigation. So we ran some regressions to try and fine-tune the ideal amount of water for maximum seed yield. So this graph shows seed yield regressed against water applied for the first 3 years. And in 2011, there was no response to irrigation. But then in 2012 and 13, we had about the highest amount of water we applied resulted in the highest seed yield. So then let's go back to the graph with the seed yield. What I did is the yellow numbers up here are the amount of precipitation that we got in the spring, winter, and previous fall. And 2011 was the year that had the highest precipitation, and that makes us think that precipitation is having an effect on the seed yield. So we decided we should include the precipitation in the regressions, but then the question becomes, well, what period? Do you want to include just the spring, and winter and spring, or winter, spring, and fall? So we decided to run four types of regressions, one with just water applied, and then water applied plus spring precip. Another one is water applied plus spring and winter. And then the last one, we had water applied plus spring, winter, and the previous fall precip. So we ran those four regressions for each type of species each year. And then we got we tried to figure out which ones would give us the most consistent estimate. So we ran the standard deviation of the water applied that resulted in the maximum seed yield each year for each species, so we can see which one resulted in the least variability. So this next graph shows that standard deviation for each type of regression for Dolly Ornata. And what we found is when we added the spring, winter, and fall precip is when we had the lowest variability in the estimates of amount of water to apply. So if we go back to the graph that had water applied with seed yields, just water applied, and then we ran the same regressions with the precip added, that resulted in much narrower estimates of the ideal amount of water to add for maximum seed yield. And then I also have this next graph shows the next 3 years, a pretty good consistency in the amount of water to apply, plus the precipitation. So let's go to Dahlia cerulci. This is the same graph for Dahlia cerulci with seed yield each year. And with Dahlia cerulci, we had statistically significant difference in seed yield every year. But notice again that in 2011, we had a negative response to irrigation. So here I added again the amount of precip, and 2011 was the year with the highest precip. So again, we ran the regressions without water applied. We had the similar results as Dahlia ornata. And then we ran the regressions, the four types of regressions, ran the standard deviation, and we had a similar result. We found that when you add spring, winter, and fall precip to the regressions, the amount of water applied, that results in the least variability in the estimates of water to apply. So then the same regressions with precip added resulted in much narrower estimates of water to apply. Even 2011, which had a negative response, the amount of water that would have been ideal is still close to the other years. And then the next 3 years for Dahlia cerulci, similar situation, pretty good estimates of amount of water to apply. So in conclusion, averaged over the 6 years for Dahlia ornata, close to about 400 millimeters of water plus precipitation it gives you the maximum seed yield. And for Dahlia cerulci, close to a little bit over 400 millimeters of water results in the maximum seed yield. And I think that's all I have. You can find more information on this and other research on our website, cropinfo.net. Thank you. The question was, what were the parameters we used to determine when to start applying water and how much to apply? We decided that we started irrigating when the plants started budding or flowering. because that's, we figured, the most critical period to be adding supplemental water. And the amount of water to apply, you know, that's a little bit complicated. I mean, these are desert plants. They're used to not having much water except precip. So that's the reason we use those amounts of water to apply. They are, for the season, much lower than other row crops in our area, but we seem to have reached, you know, plateaued and figure out the ideal amount. So I think we were in the ballpark. So. Yeah. The question was whether drip irrigation is commonly used for raising native plants. I think since it's a seed crop, it might be better to use drip because then you won't be wetting the, you know, the seed, and it might reduce the amount of disease. But also because they're desert plants, they might not get to like to get wet all the time. We might end up with more disease. We put the drip tape at 12-inch depth, and I think that really helps with reducing weed seed germination. The soil surface doesn't get as wet, and maybe if we sprinkler irrigated, we might have too much weed competition. So. Yeah, the question is, if we had extended the period of irrigation, maybe we would have found less effective rainfall. That would be a possibility. I agree, but we don't know that. But you know, these plants are all different. Maybe for some of them, that would be a good thing, have a longer period of irrigation. But yeah, we don't know. Anybody else?